Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read the Gospel from St. Luke and hear and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Most Precious Blood Catholic School is an extension of the Church, an exemplary school for pre-K through fifth graders, which helps fulfill the mission of fostering a spiritual life in each individual child, along with academic excellence and physical fitness. Registration is now underway for the fall semester. Why not call 852-4800 and arrange a visit at the campus at 3502 Saratoga Boulevard. The dedicated staff will be delighted to show you around and answer all your questions. Again, the number 852-4800. Most Precious Blood Catholic School, educating our children to know, love, and serve God. For many centuries, the Catholic Holy Mass was celebrated in Latin. Today, that tradition continues and is referred to as the extraordinary form of the Mass. The faithful at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 7522 Everhart in Corpus Christi, invite you to join them at the extraordinary form of the Mass in Latin, as encouraged by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, complete with Gregorian chant and with Father Rodolfo Vasquez presiding, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. after recitation of the Holy Rosary. Daily Low Mass takes place every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:05 p.m. St. Edmund Campion Missals in Latin and English are provided for your convenience. For more information, call Jackie Hine at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 361-443-1945.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this July morning?
I'm very well. Barbara, how are you?
I'm good.
And greetings to everyone who's listening this morning.
It's a holiday weekend, so I know there are a lot of people. We might have a lot of new people in town listening to the program.
Sure. We'll be safe on the road for sure this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12 and 17 to 20. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place where he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' And Jesus said to them, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon all full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, I read this a couple of times, and then I was reading some commentary on it, and it's clear that this is one of the first times that he's really sending his disciples out to talk to the people and kind of giving them the instructions that some are going to want to be converted and some aren't.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it is one of the first times, of course, that he does send people forth. And, you know, I love this gospel because it's so complicated.
You're right, yes.
Yes, it is difficult in 2022 America to look at this gospel and to see how Jesus sent his disciples forth, really unarmed. But they were not unarmed because they were not going to build their own kingdom, in a sense. They were not going with their own message. They were not going with their own mandate, but the mandate of Jesus that he had received from his Father. I was struck a couple of Sundays ago in praying the creed that we say, perhaps reciting it without realizing what we're saying, but that I believe in all things visible and invisible. And here we have that invisible side, that when Jesus sends them out, he sends them out, first of all, in pairs. What is the invisible element there? What Jesus said later, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. That the Spirit of God is among people, two or more, that gather in the name of Jesus. So in a sense, he's sending them out two by two, in pairs, with the Spirit of God among them because of mutual love. God is love. And when we are there united in his name, wherever, husband, wife, families, God's there. And God's the power. God's the power, not the demons and not that this. God is the power of our life. And he sends them into a harvest that may seem to be impossible in the sense that people are all over the place, as we witness today as well. So there is an abundant harvest. It's how we approach it. And what Jesus, I think, in the gospel today is asking us to look at how we approach life today. Is it in a militaristic mentality that I got to go out there and take care of these people that are against the church, against Jesus, against God? Or is it to go as a witness? And so if he is sending us, as he did then, as witnesses, we have to witness in the same way that Jesus came to us, as a lamb among wolves. So knowing that he was sending the disciples into a difficult social life and social world, he does send them as lambs, defenseless in some ways, but not so defenseless in the sense that they had the power of God in them. That's hard for us to believe. I mean, even at times, priests, bishops, no matter who we are, family members, lay people, it's hard to realize that there is a power inside of us, and that is the power of God. And so the lamb on the exterior, in the front of the wolves of life, is really the lamb that contains the power. St. Paul says this beautifully when he says there's a hidden treasure inside of us. And I wonder sometimes, even for myself, when I have to face difficult situations, that if there is, you know, if I'm not relying on the power, but more on my own abilities. And sometimes we need to pull back, not that we become passive. You know, being a lamb in this sense is not being passive, but relying on a deeper power. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the abilities. And so I need others, and I need God's help.
It's interesting that you talked about the lamb, because I think about a lamb, and I think about not having very much power.
Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one who gives up his life for his friends, for us. And so that lamb is the Lamb of power. Because when the lamb, if it was a wolf, if Jesus said, I'm sending you like wolves among the lambs,
right,
he would be giving us the power.
Right.
You're the wolf, you got it all.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He sends the church out today, you and me, into difficult situations. You know, even in the family, sometimes we go to family gatherings and with our faith, and it's almost can be like we're among a bunch of wolves in the sense that they're talking about other things. They're maybe criticizing this, criticizing that, and there we are. And so how do we approach those situations? Are in the office, you know, there's gossip, there's anger, there's jokes inappropriately about people. And yet I'm a lamb among the wolves. And we're not criticizing people. We're not judging people. But the environment is like a den of wolves. But we have to be there as lambs and reach deeper inside of ourselves and find the power of God to maybe not say something, to maybe say something, or maybe walk away, or maybe whatever it is. But Jesus, when he sends us out, as he did these early disciples, was to find the power of within them, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can also see then the next part of it is really that sense of defenselessness. So no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you go, first say peace to this household. And if a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. So even there, you know, when you're going into a difficult situation, as I described before, we don't have all these tricks, you know, in our bag. Now, Jesus is certainly not telling us to go out imprudently.
Right.
But in the sense of don't rely on these things, you know. So if you're even, let me just say a family gathering, because it's happened to me before. You know, you say something and you'll find out who responds with that deeper sense of faith or into at work. You know, I used to work in a warehouse, if you can imagine, people from delivering things and picking up things and sending things. And it was pretty rough. But in those environments, I remember how difficult it was some days just to keep your soul, you know, but to not criticize, not turn away, not disassociate myself from people, but to be in my early days, you know, before I went to the seminary or anything, but certainly a man of faith even then at a lower level, you might say, because I was so young.
At a young age.
But
right.
I had a sense that, you know, to be there to witness to Christ, even amongst all that. And I think that's this drama of being a lamb among wolves. I was also thinking the other day of when I was in college, I used to refuse to go to R or X. They called them X movies at the time. And, you know, my friends, we'd go in groups and they'd, you know, kind of urge me on or push me. I said no. So we'd choose another one. And one day they kind of tricked me. But I just thought I had to keep to my values. Of course, thank goodness for the darkness of the theater. I stayed there with my eyes closed the whole time. But, I mean, this is a kind of life which is kind of interesting, but to be a lamb among the powers of the world.
Right. Well, thank you, Bishop, and thank you for the examples. I think it helps all of us to hear that.
Yeah.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration. Each Wednesday in Corpus Christi Cathedral, the Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour and adoration begins at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating is somewhat limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live-streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with the diocesecc.org/faithservices, YouTube, just search Diocese of Corpus Christi. Bishop Mulvey personally leads Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m., in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Catholic Charities at 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi remains in need of daily volunteers to assist with operations Monday through Thursdays, and at least 3 volunteers are needed right away. Duties include filling out forms for clients, answering telephone calls, stocking the pantry, and client interaction. In times like these, we can all help a little here and a little there, and it all adds up to helping others. If you can only help 1 or 2 days a week, remember, every little bit helps. Giving and doing for others always makes us feel better. For more information, call Joanne Buchanan at 361-884-0651. Learn more at catholiccharities-cc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this being the first Sunday in July, we have another wonderful word of life for July. And it's as I was going through this, it's a really beautiful one once again.
Yes, as we begin, I'll mention that at the end. So the word of life for July 2022. There is need of only one thing, from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, where his mission will be fulfilled. On the journey, he stops in a village at the home of Martha and Mary. The evangelist Luke describes how the two sisters welcomed Jesus. Martha fulfills her traditional role of homemaker and is distracted by her many tasks as she provides hospitality. Although the verb can also mean to be entirely occupied or greatly overburdened, Mary instead sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. Mary's attentiveness is countered by Martha's agitation. Responding to her complaints about being left alone to serve, Jesus replies, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This passage is situated between the parable of the Good Samaritan, arguably one of the greatest descriptions of love of neighbor, and the passage on how Jesus taught the disciples to pray, which is certainly the greatest explanation of the relationship with God the Father. Thus, this is a pivotal point on the scales, balancing our love for neighbor and love for God. There is need of only one thing. The main characters in this gospel passage are two women. The dialogue that takes place between Jesus and Martha shows the friendship that allows her to complain to the Master. But what is the service that Jesus would like? For him, it is important that Martha should not worry, that she should set aside the traditional tasks assigned to women, and that she, too, should listen to his word, like Mary, who is taking on a new role as a disciple. The message of this text has often been reduced to contrasting active and contemplative life, almost as if they were two alternative religious approaches. Yet, both Martha and Mary love Jesus and want to serve him. In the gospel, in fact, it is not said that prayer and listening to the word are more important than charity, but rather that we need to find a way to link these two loves in a lasting way. The two loves, love of God and love of neighbor, are not opposed to each other, but are complementary because love is one. There is need of only one thing. How do we understand what the one way is that is needed? The beginning of the sentence can help us do this. Martha, Martha. In repeating her name, which can almost be seen as a rebuke, there is really a personal calling, a vocation. It seems that Jesus is calling Martha to a new way of relating to him, weaving a bond with him not as a servant, but as a friend, who is entering into a profound relationship with him. Jesus used these circumstances to explain what is most necessary in human life, to listen to the word of Jesus, wrote Carrie Lubick in July 1980. For Luke, who writes this passage, listening to the word also means living it. This is what you have to do too. Welcome the word and let it bring about a transformation in you. But that is not enough. You should remain faithful to it and hold it in your heart so that it shapes your life, just as the earth holds seeds within it, so that they may sprout and bear fruit. Therefore, bear the fruits of new life, the effects of the word. There is need of only one thing. Who knows how many opportunities we have to welcome the Master into the intimacy of our home, just like Martha and Mary, and sit and listen at his feet like true disciples. Often our worries, illnesses, commitments, and even joys and satisfactions draw us into a whirlwind of things to do, leaving us no time to stop and recognize the Lord and listen to him. This word is a precious opportunity to practice choosing the better part, which is listening to his word and acquiring that inner freedom that enables us to act accordingly in our daily lives. It can help us to carry out actions that are the fruit of a loving relationship that gives meaning to service and listening.
You know, I think that last paragraph, Bishop, says the word is a precious opportunity. And I think about, yes, we reflect on one line of scripture, but you talk about the word so often and how we need to reflect on God's messages. You know, this one, it's such a wonderful, the Martha and Mary story, because I think all of us can see ourselves as Marthas and all of us can see ourselves as Marys at times. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful reflection about that.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful to see that, you know, I think we'll go back up a little bit. She's right. I mean, we go back into always saying, well, this is the choice. If I'm contemplative, I can't be active, or if I'm active, I can't be contemplative. Mm-hmm. But that's the falseness of this whole approach. In fact, I know many homilies, you know, myself probably included many years ago, but it's you that choose one or the other, but it's not. What Jesus was really, I would say, attacking maybe at Martha, but in a friendship and gentle way, is that don't get so wrapped up in your things, mm-hmm. in your attachments. Hospitality is a beautiful thing, but we can go overboard too and then miss the conversation. I know my mother was a great entertainer. You know, my dad would even call up and I'm bringing five men over for, you know, after at work, and she'd have to hustle about, but she was good at it. But in family gatherings too, we can get so caught up in mm-hmm. the preparations, the execution of a meal, et cetera, that we're not able to enjoy the company of others. And sometimes that can be, you know, looking at it as kind of be a selfish thing, because I want everyone to say how perfect it was, mm-hmm. looking for compliments maybe. And sometimes it's not overt or it's intentional, but underneath we all like to have a compliment every once in a while. But when that takes the place of being with the company that I've invited, or being distracted, you know, even just thinking of that one example of wanting people to compliment my efforts, mm-hmm. I can sit there the whole meal waiting for that,
right.
Which means I'm distracted. I'm listening to the wrong word. I'm listening to myself.
Right.
When are they going to say how wonderful it was? When are they going to say how delicious it was? You know, when are they? And we've missed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't loved our neighbor because we're not listening to them. So I think in Martha's case, it's easy to understand Mary in a certain sense, and she's been blamed for not being helpful, but I'm sure right. she was. But it's the Martha in us that I think Jesus was trying to address and lovingly to say, you know, all this is wonderful, the preparations, the hospitality, but be a part of it too. Mm-hmm. We have to detach ourselves from our wants and needs, desires, and really to do what we have to do, but not to go to the extreme where we miss the reality that's right in front of us, the presence of the people that are in our company. And of course, for this, it was a special moment because the person that was in their home was the Son of God.
Right.
And to miss him, or to miss loving a neighbor in our context today, we miss that opportunity to welcome Jesus, whatever you do to the least you've done to me, who's in every person. So Jesus is warning us or giving us the opportunity to not get wrapped up in the activities of an event or an occasion, but to be people who love their guests, not so much by doing, which, you know, as I said, can be looking for a compliment maybe, but to being there with them and being present to them.
Mm-hmm. And I often sometimes say that, think too, that our guests are not going to be judging for perfection.
Oh, some do.
Well, then they're not really friends.
That's what's called gossip the day after. But no, I'm kidding. But that is true.
But they're not really friends.
No, they
if they're
come.
Judging.
They want to be with us. And that's
exactly.
What's the most important thing.
That is the most important thing. So another wonderful word of life this month. Well, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you this week in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I also want to wish all of you there a very happy 4th of July tomorrow, and please be safe on the road. And we ask God to bless our country in this difficult time.
Thank you, Bishop. And thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day, a very safe and beautiful 4th of July, and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.